23. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were servants, that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of right wiseness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, a right wiseness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from right wiseness. But fruit, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. In other words, he's saying, look, what good did it do you? But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're certainly thankful, Lord, to assemble here again tonight, knowing that we might not have so many more times that we can do so before your Son Jesus returns, before the resurrection takes place, knowing, Father, that the falling apart of the world is in order. Your prophet warned us it would come. He let us know that the wrath of God is just waiting. And so, Lord, we just pray that we would be amongst those that would be found worthy, O God, by the blood of the Lamb, by the Holy Ghost resident in our lives, that we would be found worthy, O God, to stand in the resurrection, to stand in that great gathering together, and to be taken home to meet your Son Jesus in the air. Be with us tonight, Father, as we prepare our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Now notice that the Apostle Paul says that you are not what you used to be. And what you used to be is a slave of sin. But now you have voluntarily become a love slave to Jesus Christ. From a sermon that Tolkien, Brother Bram says in paragraph number 37, he says, the lamb was killed in the evening time after being kept up for 14 days. Sounds like he was a slave as well. I'm sure the lamb didn't stay up for 14 days on his own. And then the lamb was killed and the blood was applied in the evening time. You get it? The token never come into existence until the evening time. And this is the evening time of the age that we live in. This is the evening time for the church. This is the evening time for me. This is the evening time of my message. And I'm dying. I'm going. I'm moving out in the evening time of the gospel. And we've come up through justification and so forth. But this is the time that the token has to be applied. And I told you last Sunday, I had something that I wanted to talk to you about. And this is it. The time that when you just can't play with it. How many people in this message are just playing with it? Oh, I believe God sent a prophet. Well, I go to church. Oh, I pay my tithes. Girls say, well, I leave my dresses below my knees, you know, and got my hair long. And how many are just playing with it? Because we can see that the wrath is all ready to pass. It's about ready to pass through the land, and everything from under the token will perish. The blood has identified you. Now, those are two things he says here. Number one, you can't play with it. And number two, the wrath is on its way and it will be too late when it arrives because everything not under the token will perish when the wrath of God comes. We must apply it now. We've got to be serious about this message. I'm going to read this again from Paul's Romans 6 from the Weymouth translation just because it has wording that makes it a little bit more easy for you to understand. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. Notice that, the form of teaching. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to right wiseness. In other words, to correct understanding. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery, to impurity. What's that? Your mind, your eyes, your ears. And to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to the righteousness which leads to holiness. Your mind, your eyes, your ears, your mouth. For when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at the time from those things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness and results in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, Paul saying, look, you're either going to be a slave to your passions and slave to self, slave to your peer pressure, slave to all the vices of the flesh, or you're going to be a slave to God. And that being a love slave. Now this evening I'd like to especially focus our attention on verse 17 where Paul says, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. In other words, Paul is saying that we should be thankful to God for having set us free from the slavery of sin and corruption, which sin leads to death. And we're told that our being set free came through a process whereby we have wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching. Or as the Weyman translation says, you have yielded yourself wholeheartedly to the system of the truth. And the Weiss translation says, you obeyed out from the heart as a source, a type of teaching into which you were handed over. Well, I think that's a pretty accurate statement. God handed you over to a systematic form of teaching. And so we see that this teaching that you have wholeheartedly obeyed is not only the true teaching of God's word, but it is more specifically a specific form or type of teaching which Weymouth calls a system of truth. Now, a system, according to Webster's dictionary, is a set of facts, principles, rules, etc., that have been classified or arranged into a regular, orderly form so as to show a logical plan linking the various parts that there might be an established way of doing things. Orderliness in one's way of proceeding. In other words, not just a haphazard, oh, we'll take a topic here, we'll take a topic here, we'll preach over here, we'll preach over here. No, you're following a set order, you see? An orderly progression. In other words, the system of teaching is not just a shotgun approach to the truth, but it is rather an orderly progression set forth in a logical manner in order to accomplish something. Now, that is why we take Brother Bram's sermons in a series. It's an orderly progression, thought by thought. Instead of just getting up each service and taking a random topic and preaching on that, I do not believe people are benefited from random thinking, much less random teaching. But when you focus on the word, just like in 2004, when we taught the brothers in Congo, I had many of them come up to me afterwards and said, we learned one thing. We learned how to read our Bibles. Because I emphasized to them that you don't read the Bible like a book. You don't read it like a newspaper. You read it thought by thought. Those are the thoughts of God. And when you're sitting there listening to the thoughts or reading the thoughts of God, you should stop at each thought and meditate upon each thought and ask God, what are you trying to tell me? You see? And that's why, as I said, we take Brother Brown's sermons in a series, thought by thought, instead of just getting up each service and taking a random topic and preaching on that, because I don't think you get too much out of, you know, if you have a random, like Brother Don, if we're having a conversation and your mind is just going random, and you're popping, you know, topic over here and then over here and your subject over here and subject over there, I can't follow you. But if we're systematically taking a thought and talking about that thought and delving into that thought, we get a whole lot out of it. And Paul lets us know this form of teaching will produce a completely surrendered and yielded vessel. Paul said, but thanks be to God, though you used to be slaves to sin, you have wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to right wiseness. Now, Paul used the word slaves for a specific reason. The Greek word he chose to use here is the word doulos, which means metaphorically one who gives himself up to another's will. Notice the person gives himself up. It's not compulsory. It's free will. Devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interests, or more plainly said, one whose will is swallowed up in the will of another. In other words, you say to God, Father, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, I mean, my will, Father, is that you take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will. My will is totally swallowed up in your will. Whatever your will would be, Father, that's what I want to do. You see, this is important to understand what Paul tells us here, because after all, it concerns us in our approach to God. He is telling us, on the one hand, that we are to be set free from the slavery of sin. This simply means that we are set free from having our own will swallowed up by the will of someone else's. You no longer feel compelled to follow peer pressure. You're through with it. Or the ways of the world, you're through with it. But you have had your will set free from the bondage that the world enslaves you by, and you are free to place your will wherever you choose. And you have chosen Israel. Can you make sure that the top one is on? Okay, thank you. Yet it is ironic that Paul also says, in following this system of teaching, that you will engender yourself to a full and complete surrender of your will to righteousness, which is a rightness, and instead of this slavery bringing forth nothing for you, it produces a new eternal life. You see, when you were a slave to the world, what did it produce? Tattoos, piercings, smoking, drinking, adultery, fornication, all the things of the devil. And what did fornication and adultery produce? AIDS, syphilis, gonorrhea, you name it. I think it's important for us to understand that these things in the light of the fact that we're entering into the year of Jubilee this September. This September 13th is the Shemitah, where it is the seventh or 49th year where all debts are paid and begins the Jewish Jubilee. Every 7 years, there's a setting free of the debt. Then on the seventh, it begins a Jubilee. For a whole year, the debt's wiped out for a whole year. Brother Branham made it very important. If you look up quotes on the Jubilee, Brother Branham talks about if a person refused to go free at that time, they took their ear to the awl, they placed it on the awl, and they took a thing and they punched a hole through it. And that person would never be free again. Well, basically, it's over. The world financial system is about to crash, and they're coming to the UN in September to kick off the agenda called After 2015. It's a global currency reset. We do not yet know the repercussions on the nations, but it will be no good because the Vatican will be in charge once they use their gold to bail out the nations. And we also know it's going to be this meeting is going to be on global governance, and the Pope is going to talk to the Congress, the entire Congress, both houses, the Senate and the House. He's going to talk to Wall Street. He's going to talk to all the dignitaries that are coming to the UN for this meeting. And they're going to let him know, look, you're all busted. You're all full of fiat currency. You're all full of paper that's worthless. But we can bail you out. We can be your savior, your redeemer. But there's a little caveat. We make the laws. We make the laws, and your governments will just follow through and make sure that those things happen. Oh yeah, it's coming. Mark 13:28, beginning of verse 26. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of the earth to the uttermost parts of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree, that's Israel. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So yet in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the door. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Now Israel became a nation in 1946, right? So in 2006, it was that would be 60 years. 2016 is 70 years. A generation in the Bible is actually 70 years. The Bible says that you're given 70 years, and perhaps if by good health you'll be given 80. So you're talking about, you know, we used to talk 40 years, 40 years, 40 years. It's not. It's actually 70 years. I mean, that's what the Bible says. It says you're given 70 years of life, and if by chance good health, maybe 80 years. Maybe 80. Well, 70 years is going to be 2016. 70 years when Israel has become a nation. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son of Man, but the Father. Take ye heed, take ye heed. Watch and pray. Notice there are three things that we are given charge to do. Take heed. What does that mean? Be watchful, be careful. Be careful, watch what's coming, and pray. Be in a state of readiness, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is a man, for the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Oh, who's sleeping? The foolish virgins. Now, we know that the fig tree is a type of Israel, and when it is blossoming, it means that she is in her own homeland, and the nation is blossoming as a nation. In Hosea 9 and 10, God said, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness, and I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. Again, in the Song of Solomon 2 and 13, we see a picture of the bride being courted by the groom, and he says to her, the fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair, and come away. So it lets us know that when the fig tree is put forth her figs, it's time to rise. Therefore, we know that the Gentile days are numbered, and God will shortly turn back to the Jews. So when he does, the bride will be off at the wedding supper and getting ready for her millennial honeymoon. Now, I just want to say one thing. Be very careful. He says, be careful, watch, and pray. We are coming down to the end of the road in the next few months. I believe it will begin in the next few months. It may spread out for a half a year. For 500 days or it may go into the spring, because Brother Bam always said that, you know, in nature you have the resurrection is in the springtime. It could go to the spring, but I believe the squeeze has or is about to begin. Squeeze is a financial term. If you look it up, do a Google search and look up the word squeeze. You hear it in a lot of Wall Street Journal articles. Squeeze is a financial term. And Brother Bam said when the squeeze is on, they're going to shut down the tabernacle. And he said, churches like ours. And they'll use them for storehouses. Why? Because they have to have the food. They have to have a place to hold the food so they can feed the people that are starving to death, because they've cut off Social Security. They've cut off Medicare, Medicaid. They've cut off all the entitlements. They're going to cut everything down. So when they do that, you know that's when you're going to have to see food on the table. All right. Now, what is it that frees her from this slavery? It is a condition of her mind. Paul said, you have yielded yourselves wholeheartedly to the system of truth. And that is the key, yielding yourself wholeheartedly. Now, what does it mean to yield? What does the word yield yourself? What does it mean? And what does it mean to do it so wholeheartedly? Well, we find in Mark 12 and verse 28, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, he asked them, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Well, that's the first one. We can't even get the first one right. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is likely, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. Now I think it's interesting. We just read something. It hit me for the first time. Jesus was telling them, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And they said, oh, that's true. There is only one God. He didn't say one God, although there is one God. He said, there's one Lord, and they said, there's one God. Lord, God. Lord, God. They don't understand. Of course there's one God, but there's only one Lord as well. They're not the same thing. The word Lord means master. Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father doing. That the Son doeth likewise. Then who's the Lord? God. Therefore, the main thing that God wants from us is our entire heart, which is our understanding. That is why he frees us from sin, which is unbelief, and turns our hearts toward his word, which is life and right wisdom. So this evening, we're looking at the subject of being prepared for the Feast of Tabernacle, the Feast of the Tent, which is the resurrection ministry, which must come before we can go home for the wedding supper. People think they're going to show up. Oh, I believe, like one preacher said, and you know, I don't mean to make fun of him, but the fact is, he said, well, I don't believe there's going to be a tent, but you know what? If there is, we'll be there. You don't believe it, but you're going to be there. How do you explain that? Now listen. We got to be preparing for that time. Matthew 24, 32 to 25, 13. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. That's Israel. When his branches get tender and put forth his leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you see all these things, know that it is near even at the door. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the day of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, and they were giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Noah knew it was coming. Noah prepared his house, the Bible says. And the rest of the world was just going on with their daily activities. Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, going to work, and all of these things. And they weren't preparing themselves for the great thing that was coming. And science tells us that what happened in Noah's day is the earth shifted. There was a total global disturbance. There was a thing passing through. The waters came up from below because the pressure, just like a the pressure was so much on the earth it just gushed up and out. Well, it's coming. So Noah and his family prepared. That's it. They applied the token. Are you? So shall also the parousia of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the parousia of the Son of Man be. Then shall be two in the field, that's two on the job, two out working, whatever. One shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Father doth come. I mean, your Lord doth come to you. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not. Here's the key. In such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Don't ever get to the place where you think, oh, maybe we got a whole lot more time. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall so find doing. What's he saying? Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat, to give them spiritual meat in due season? In other words, getting them prepared. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord will find, when he cometh, shall find doing. No time to take a vacation. I mean, nothing wrong with vacation, but I'm just saying no time to take a vacation from the Lord. All right? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite. Notice. Oh, we got time. Maybe 6 more years we got, so I'm not going to repent until 5 years and a half. Then I'll start getting right. You're going to miss it. My Lord delays his coming, and notice, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour, or her, and in an hour that he or she is not aware, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It plagues my soul to see young people in this message just becoming no different than a Baptist. Living like a Baptist. Oh, God's a God of grace. Listen, if you make grace into disgrace, you've trodden underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. Matthew 15:1-13. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, that's their vessels, and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessel with their lamps. Now the word of God is a lamp unto our feet. So that lamp is their Bible. The wise took oil in their vessel. Not in their Bible. In their vessel. Right? That's what it says. In their vessel with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they slumbered and slept. At midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. See, they had no oil in their vessel. Now, they might have had a little bit in the lamp at one time in their Bible. But their lamps went out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell. Go to the voice of God. Go to the Bible bookstore. Go to them and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Just like Noah. Who shut the door? God shuts the door. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. But he answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Whereas, what's his name? Brother Vail used to know the fellow. He was a brilliant Greek and Hebrew scholar. And he said, I used to know you as my wife, but I don't know you as my wife anymore. Dr. Hoyer. Dr. Hoyer. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. 1 Thessalonians 5:21-23. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you, cleanse you wholly and completely. And I pray God your whole spirit, your entire spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what if you're in the parousia and you're not living a blameless life? You're not living. You better die quickly to yourself. That's the only, listen, the only way you have out of here is you got to die to yourself. And let him come in and live your life for you. From desperation, Brother Ramsey, the token, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is among us. We should reverence that. We can't humble ourselves enough. Taking off your shoes or getting on your knees wouldn't expel it. It wouldn't satisfy. It wouldn't suffice us. But a life that brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. Now, what is the fruit of the Spirit? See, love, joy, and peace. Remember this morning, preparation sent the messenger with the message. Next thing he done after he sent the messenger with the message, he sent the pillar of fire for a vindication. Next thing after that was consolation. See, you knew that it was right. You was at peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, and from desperation, paragraph 17. Then the life that was in Christ is the Holy Ghost. Not the third person, but the same person in the form of the Holy Spirit coming upon you as a token that your life and your fare is paid. You see, until that token is there, you don't know. You just don't know. You have no evidence. You have an, but this is your, that the Holy Spirit coming upon you as a token that your life and fare is paid. You have been accepted. There's your acceptance. There's your knowing that you've been accepted. Until that token comes, you're not permitted on the highway. You're not permitted on the bus line. You're not permitted to go in until you can present this token, and the token is your fare. And now it shows the blood has been shed and been applied to you. And the price has been applied to you. And you have the token that the blood is applied to you, and you are accepted. Get it now? Oh, my. Now, there's just not no certain evidence. See, you say, well, Brother Brown, I feel it. I feel it in your mind, you see. Why will I know? Now look, what were you and what are you? There you go. What were you? How do you know? How do you know you've been changed? How do you let the token? What were you? And now what are you? There's how you know, see? There's how you know. What was you before this token was applied, and what are you after it's applied? What was your desires before, and what is your desires after? Then you know whether the token's been applied or not. And these other things just automatically go with that. Hallelujah. You got the Holy Ghost in you, tugging at you. When you do something that's not right, you stop. Lord, forgive me. You make it right. You move on. Well, that lets you know you got it. That's why. Desperation. Paragraph 155. Let us pray. In desperation, watch for the kingdom of God. It'll come upon you. Our Heavenly Father, I pray thee in Jesus' name, be merciful unto us, Lord, and start in us a desperation. Oh, Lord God, have mercy upon us, I pray, and let the people seek thee tonight with desperate hearts. We know that you're here, Lord. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And now may these people who have the token that they've passed from death unto life, they've changed from the old worldly life to a new one. They have the blood has been applied, and God has given them a token. What were you? What are you now? From the token, Brother Branson said, that's what they did in Egypt. That's what they did in Jericho. If you want to read another one, Acts 16:31, Paul told the centurion, believe I'm the messenger of the hour, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou and thy house shall be saved. Is that right? Believe for your house. Bring them all under it. Now you've seen the God of heaven perform a miracle just before judgment. You believe it? Yes. What can I do? He said, rise and be baptized. Paul took him out and baptized him and said, now believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou and thy house shall be saved. Believe what? Believe the Lord Jesus Christ for your house. Apply the token to your house. Then what do you do when you apply it to your house? Move all the trash out. Get all the short skirts and the shorts and the cards and the cigarettes and televisions and whatever more and kick them out the door. Why do you do that? You're showing God that you're serious about it. You're going to apply the token. You won't stand still for it. Yes, sir. Take it all out. All the dances and the parties and the rock and roll and the old vulgar newspapers and the stuff that's of the world and kick it out the door and say, we're cleaning out this place around here. In other words, you want to prove to God that you mean it when you say that you're applying the token. If you say, I'm applying the token, and you're sitting there and you're watching dirty, vulgar things, you're not applying the token. Why should he? Brother Brown said, I can walk into a man's house, and I can just look at what's on the walls, and I can tell you whether you got the Holy Ghost or not. I can tell you where his mind is at. So you walk into a man's house and got dirty, vulgar pictures on the walls. He said, there's no sanctification there. There's no token applied there. You see? What are you creating? What atmosphere are you creating in your home? What atmosphere are you creating around you? He said, you're going to apply the token. It won't still stand for it. Take it all out. All the dances, parties, rock and roll, and old vulgar newspaper and stuff in the world. And kick it out the door. We're cleaning out this place around here. And as I mentioned, God is proving, and you're proving to God, that you mean it when you say that you're applying the token. You're proving to him, and he shall approve you when you prove to him. You might write that down. It's a little catchy phrase, but he will approve you when you prove to him. You prove to him, and he'll approve you. In other words, you give that token. You prove that you're applying the token, and he'll give it in here. When it comes time to take you out of here, he'll take you. From the token, Brother Branson, apply it and create that atmosphere around you that they'll just drop right into it. See? Oh, if you've got the token, you create a spirit around you of power that when you walk, people know that you're a Christian. They love for you to say something to them. They believe your word. What you say, they hold on to it. See? This is it. Apply the token, then walk with it. Claim your household. You must do it. This is the evening time. Now, you've been listening a long time. Now, this is evening time. It's applying time now. The wrath will strike one of these days. It might be too late then. See? Apply the token with confidence. And from the token, he says, yes, clean out the cupboards. Clean out the house. Oh, we have a good old-fashioned house cleaning. Let the blood be applied. Then the token will come in. Clean it out. Sanctify it. Then apply the token in prayer with confidence when you're cleaned yourself up. You've got away from these things of the world. You've dumped all the unbelief out. I don't care what the people says. If the word of God says it and promised it, I believe it. That's why we take our stand on John 14:12. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. If the word says it, that settles it. I don't care what anybody else says. See? Then when you got all that done, you've applied the blood and you believe every word, then take your token in prayer and be fully convinced. In closing, from the token, Brother Ramsey, associations and ministers have let the people do anything and get by. And just put their name on the book and call them this, that, or the other, when it's nothing but a disgrace. And it's got so that faith is something that's not even, don't even, very seldom ever know what even it is. They got a hope, not a faith. You've got to get back to everything's combed out and clean. Then take your token that you know that it's Christ, that Jesus Christ in you, and then apply it. If something don't happen, then there's something wrong. Go back again. In other words, you scour your life to make sure everything is lined up with his word. And you find something that's not lined up, might have been 20 years ago. Might have been 50 years ago. No, well, not even 50 years ago, but might have been 20 years, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, a year ago, 2 months ago. If the Holy Spirit, you just go and say, Lord, I'm taking inventory. I want my life cleansed. God, help me to make right anything that I've done wrong. And he puts it on your heart, you go do it. You make it right. Like the woman, she said, well, I made it right to God. He said, but it was against your husband, you sinned. You got to go to him. You didn't sin against God. You sinned against your husband. You might sin against your brother or your sister. Make it right. He says, they got a hope but no faith. You've got to get back to everything's combed out and clean. Then take your token. See, look, if you know that you have laid your life up before God and there isn't one thing in your life that you know of that's hindering the word of God from being fulfilled in your life, then you can ask with confidence. Father, my life is a living reflection of your life. Because you're living my life for me. Therefore, I know that when I go to pray, I can pray in confidence, and I know that you'll hear my prayer. Then you can see things take place. The reason John 14:12, the reason Mark 16, those things, brother, as Brother Bell preached in 1963, he said, the people are lacking. He said, how could God put a Holy Spirit in an unholy vessel? The people are not chilled up. They're not prayed up. They haven't died. They haven't consecrated their life. They haven't consecrated their being to God. So why should God listen? It says, then take your token. you know that it's Jesus Christ in you, then apply it. If something don't happen, there's something wrong, go back again. Got the wrong thing in your hand. He promised it. He was the one who promised it. Apply it. Read Ephesians 2:12 sometime if you wish to, and you'll find out there. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, we've come to the place, Lord, we believe every word you said. Oh, I know that many people say that. But Father, our life shows that we do. Because we know that if there be anything that would hinder our prayer, we make it right. And Father, we live our life knowing that you're watching every little move we make, every thought, because you're a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. We know that every thought is in subjection to thee. And so, Father, we know with confidence, we can have confidence when we go to pray. And I believe, Lord, with all my heart, that your children are coming to that place also. Whether, as Brother Ram said, I'm up here, you're down here, but one day you'll be up here. One day your life will be so dedicated and so consecrated that you will become the very reflection or manifestation of God's life in vessels in flesh. Father, may this day, this scripture be fulfilled in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know.